Hi, and welcome back to the Church Renewal Podcast. I'm your host, Alan Edwards, Director of Operations at Flourish Coaching. The Church Renewal Podcast is a ministry of Flourish Coaching, where we set ministry leaders free with the gospel to be effective wherever God has called them. When pastors and churches get stuck, Flourish coaches come alongside them to renew their hope in the gospel and help them gain some strategic clarity. Today, we're dropping an episode into your feed in our Renewal Voices series. Renewal Voices is where we connect with thought leaders across denominations and traditions who are trying to affect change and renewal in their context. We want to get their ideas out to you, our audience, so that you might find them profitable or beneficial to your ministry. Today, we're talking with Chris Vogel, Director of Next Gen Pastors. You can find Next Gen Pastors online at ngpastors.com. Next Gen forms pastoral cohorts to strengthen and renew pastoral leadership in some of the gifts and skills that are needed to navigate leadership in congregations. Chris is a former church planter outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He also serves the Presbyterian Church in America as a director for church planting apprenticeships. So we're happy to have him on the show today. And so in a minute here, we'll ask Chris to tell us a little bit more about pastoral cohorts and the next generation of pastoral education. But before we do that, we want to remind you, our audience, that there's a reason we talk about the renewal of local churches. It's because Jesus is still gathering a people to himself and using the church to do it. So if you're interested in the renewal of pastoral leadership and the renewal of local congregations, come join us and dig into the ways that Jesus is renewing his church. All right, we're happy to welcome to the show today, Chris Vogel, Director of Next Gen Pastors. Chris, how are you doing today, brother?
Doing well.
For listeners, Chris and I are safely socially distanced, recording over Zoom today in light of what's happening in the community around us.
I wouldn't have it any other way, whether there's a pandemic or not, Alan. Nothing personal.
You'd like to keep some social distance from me. I got you, brother. Chris also serves on the board of Flourish Coaching, and on his own runs Next Gen Pastors. Chris, can you tell us a little bit about what is Next Gen in like the broad strokes? What are you trying to do as you help raise up and form the next generation of pastoral leaders?
Yeah, Next Gen Pastors grew out of the understanding that while our context of training pastoral leaders is we've always had a, especially within our tribe in the PCA, there's a good academic foundation that we have. There are very often good opportunities for on-the-job training, internships, apprenticeships, where they can learn what it is under the supervision of a seasoned pastor. But we have not had a good track record of what we'd say is character formation, soft skill development. And so Next Gen comes along with kind of a third leg of a stool to give some balance of having a mentored cohort as a model to provide the place, the opportunity for not only those who are in preparation for ministry, but also those who are beginning in the early phases of ministry, as well as those who are seeking renewal in ministry.
Okay. So we saw some studies come out a couple of years ago on pastoral health and the need for personal renewal among pastors, particularly John Guthrie and I think Tracy Chapman, is that right? Were the co-authors of Resilient Ministry.
And Bob Burns,
thank you, yeah. And they talked a lot about pastors burning out, not from lack of academic education, but from lack of some of these soft skills that that a lot of guys who are leading in churches have never really been formed in. As you look at the next generation of pastoral leadership, what are the particular soft skills? What do you mean by soft skills? Mm-hmm. And what are some of the particular skills that you are seeing renewed and formed in men that are helping them sustain?
Yeah, the soft skills we refer to, and this is part of the same thing as really the character formation, comes out of a grant from Lilly Foundation. They did a report maybe 20 years ago called Sustaining Pastoral Excellence. Out of that grant, Chapman, Burns, and Guthrie wrote the book Resilient Ministry, in which they, through the study, and you see in the book, they had six distinct categories of soft skills, and they would be spiritual formation, leadership, marriage and family, emotional intelligence, cultural intelligence, and leadership. skills. So those six areas are where we see pastoral burnout, bumps in the road, failure, the whole range of issues that we face. That's where the damage can be done to the pastor's own heart and life, his family, in the church.
Okay. And as you look at the guys that you're currently working with, what are one or two examples of these soft skills, within these six categories that you find have been particularly helpful in pastors becoming more healthy leaders in their context?
Well, I think, on any one of them, so for spiritual formation, as we kind of talk about what is involved, that it is not just what happens each and every Lord's Day's morning, as important as that is, but how are they tending to their own heart? How's the gospel instructing them? When we talk about soul care, they're one of the modules that we've developed in the process of developing some 61 day events that's part of this program, would be on the reading life of the pastor. What are we reading? Because not just in the context of good theology, but how are we feeding our hearts, our souls with good fiction and good historical works to give us a broader perspective? You get to emotional intelligence, it's going to be the same thing. How do you recognize and manage your own emotions? How do you see and respond to the emotional responses of others? So we have a whole module just introducing what's emotional intelligence, but then other modules that zero in on some of those aspects, like how to have crucial conversations in our relationships, that based just off the book of the same name. Cultural intelligence, the same thing. First, we always have some sort of introduction, but it would also be working through other modules that deal with some of this stuff is even would seem often hard skill. So there's a module developing right now on demographics. Well, demographics is more than just getting the right statistics and numbers of a neighborhood, but it's how do you engage with those statistics? How does the gospel inform your heart? How are you going to reach those people? Part of all of this is there's an integrative aspect. Each one of these soft skills is related to the other. So you can't zero in on one and go, I'm really strong on my leadership skills. I know how to run a meeting and do a budget, but I'm an absolute jerk in the middle of a session meeting because I can't control my tongue or my emotions. So yeah, all these are all fit together.
Wait, are you saying being an absolute jerk is not healthy leadership?
That is often seen to be a strong leader, but no, let's just say that is not what you should be.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's part of the Myers-Briggs, a spectrum. I'm a J-E-R-K.
J-E-R-K. That's good, brother. So if I'm a pastor listening today, or if I'm a congregant, a portion of our audience are folks who are leading Bible studies, participating in the ministries of their church. And I'm hearing what you're saying. How do I know as a pastor or as someone who loves a pastor that my pastor needs some personal renewal in these kind of skills? How do I kind of make that bridge to understand, oh, this is the thing that my guy needs?
I think the foundation of what I'm doing, and when we're talking about just not learning these skills, but learning in a context of being mentored, facilitated in a cohort context, the foundational principle is that pastoral health is always lived in community. Mm-hmm. And so the question I would one always have for my pastor is, tell me about your community. Who are you engaging with? And as a pastor, we love the people in our church. We love spending time with them. And there is and should be good, healthy interaction, engagement. But at the end of the day, the pastor does need a place where he can find and be able to distinguish between allies and confidants. Who are your confidants? You really can bear your soul to. Now, in many ways, as a Presbyterian, we can pat ourselves on the back and go, we got that down pat. We have a presbytery. We meet four times a year in a very strange business/prayer meeting format in which we take care of the business of the church. As wonderful as that format may be to accomplish the goal of the Great Commission, it isn't the place where we really have our souls fed, nurtured, where we can be open and deal with some of the struggles in our lives. And so for that reason, being sure that your pastor is in some context with some regularity, not just once a year, you know, six times a year, 10 times a year, if possible, gathering with other pastors in which they're, yeah, they're sharing some of their horror stories. They're praying for each other. That's fine. But also working through some of these critical elements, because we never should stop growing and knowing our need for ongoing renewal.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you deliver these modules in community, in cohorts. So this isn't like a self-study course that guys are doing from home. Describe one of these cohorts. What are some of the blessings you've seen to pastoral leaders from being part of this model of personal growth and renewal?
Again, in these cohorts, I see them in three distinct areas of formation, development, and renewal. Formation is a seminary, development is early years of ministry, renewal is later, and each has benefits for themselves. So let's just talk about formation, those guys who are going through a seminary program. So with the group that I'm working with here in Wisconsin, because my other job is the director of On Wisconsin, the church planting work here in this state. I have about a dozen guys who are going through seminary, and they're all dealing with different, there are some distinct programs, academic programs are going through. Some are going to Covenant, some are going to Reformed Theological Seminary, others through LAMP, Leadership and Ministry Preparation Seminary. And so as we gather together, one, they're all doing it living here locally. They're doing hybrid programs, distance study. As we gather together, it allows them to build healthy relationships with each other, to know that since pastoral ministry health, since pastoral health is always lived in community, they're starting that right from the get-go. They don't start that once they become a pastor. This is how you are formed and live as a pastor. So the benefit is I'm watching them, and not only the guys in the program, but as couples, the wives engaging each other, supporting each other, even though they're in different churches, and also in different, not just different churches, different denominations. Our cohort is made up of people from other theological traditions, which allows great cross-pollination. It allows a kingdom-mindedness and engagement that's for a long-term health. Just extrapolate that out to renewal. I've seen guys in other places have been in ministry for years, and they get along with the other folks in their tribe, in their presbytery in this case, but they're finding they did not really know each other. And so I'm seeing some openness and transparency, praying for each other, walking with each other through the hard times and celebrating the good.
Yeah. So in your lingo, renewal cohorts, these are the guys who have been on the field more than 5 years. Maybe they're pastoring in a context that is particularly difficult. They're a solo operator. And through a next gen cohort, they're finding community. Their skills are being sharpened. You know, it's interesting. We always joke, every other profession, you gotta do continuing ed. You know, if you're going to be a dentist, if you're going to be an MD, you gotta do continuing ed. If you're going to be a pastor, we give you the stamp on day one, and for a lot of traditions, not all, but for a lot of traditions, that's it. So Chris, one of the ways you're trying to see a renewal in pastoral education, a change in pastoral education, whether it's formation, whether it's guys who've been on the field 10 years, is this community style of learning and growing. Do you think that this community cohort style of learning and growing is something that would benefit not just pastoral leaders, but the church at large?
Yeah, certainly. And in many ways, it's what a significant number of our churches already have in place. They have home Bible studies, community groups, shepherd groups, fellowship groups, whatever they might call them. So it's interesting. We have that in place in our churches and are successful to one degree or another, but they gather together, they share their struggles, they study the Word of God and apply it in their lives and are growing together. What the difficulty is, pastors don't have that. By and large, we are, I often liken it to, we are as pastors watching our church sitting and enjoying a fabulous meal, enjoying a fellowship together and a great time, but we're standing outside the wall looking through a window and we're happy to see it taking place, but we don't have it ourselves. So yeah, I think this is something that churches can and should, take place and have. Many times they do and encourage it. At the same time, I would say a number of the pastors that are using this material have been asking for and are using it to some degree within the context of their own church, specifically with their elder board, the leaders in their church, because many of these qualities we're talking about of emotional intelligence and cultural intelligence and their own caring for their own souls, their bodies, as well as spiritual formation. They're in their own marriages, there are things they could use there. And so there are some of these groups are beginning to use it in the local church as well.
So Chris, if I was a regional leader who wanted to get next gen resources for some folks with me, if I'm a pastor who wants to be part of a next gen cohort, how do I reach out to you? What are my first steps? How do I connect with NextGen?
You know, what I offer is I will, if someone that wants to lead a cohort, certainly talk to them ahead of time, but I provide a 4 1-hour mentor training program that really walks through what does it mean to be part of a NextGen cohort and give them some of the material, things to think about, because I am finding a lot of our pastors, of our leaders, they have some concept of coaching. They don't have a real good concept of mentoring and what that means. And in the end, in some ways, it is how well do they really grasp what a long-term discipling process looks like. So I'll give them the very beginning, the first taste of what's involved. At the end of the 4 weeks, I give them access to the website, which is our delivery system. Right now we have 20, soon to be 21 different modules done, working on them on more and more. A lot of those are done in a collaborative context. So I have other people writing because no one of us is smart enough or deep enough to speak to all these areas in this way. Then they have access to that. And as they are able to help identify in their area, who are those people who want to be part of a mentored cohort, they then lead them through. And I give ongoing encouragement, follow up with them in that whole process.
Great. And people can, if they want to find you directly, they're going to go where? They're going to go to ngpastors.com, right?
They can go to ngpastors.com, email me, Chris Vogel, V as in Victor, O-G-E-L, at ngpastors.com. Shoot me an email and would be glad to talk to you more.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris. Thanks so much for joining the Church Renewal Podcast today, brother. It is good to be socially distant with you.
And also with you, I guess, is our new passing of the peace.
And also with you. All right. Well, thank you for tuning into the Church Renewal Podcast today. The Church Renewal Podcast is a ministry of Flourish Coaching. We are excited about the ways that Jesus is renewing his church. And today it's been great to hear about how he is renewing pastoral education, pastoral health through a group like Next Gen Pastors. If you would like to participate in the conversation about pastoral and church renewal, reach out to us at flourishcoaching.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter, Flourish Coach the number one. And you can always connect with me directly. I'm your host, Alan Edwards. I'm A-L-L-A-N, Alan, at flourishcoaching.org. Again, thanks for tuning in today. You know, there's only one fully sufficient reason that this day dawned, and it's that Jesus is yet gathering a people to himself and using his church to do it. So continue to join with us as we dig into the ways that Jesus is renewing his church.